All right, so we are backstage with Courtney Barnett before her show tonight at the Pageant in St. Louis. Courtney, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time to talk to us. I'm sure you've been very busy.
Yeah, that's all good.
How has things been on the road so far?
It's been great. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun, you know, traveling around, singing songs, meeting people.
Yeah, I guess life could be worse, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You played Forecastle over the weekend?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fun festival. I've been down there a couple of times for that. That's usually a good time, right on the river.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
We started playing and then the sun started setting and it was really beautiful, really great crowd and just a good vibe.
Do you, what's the biggest difference between a festival and a crowd like tonight that's just here to see you?
Yeah, they're different. I think the energy of that kind of outdoor, bigger festival and the sun and, you know, I think that kind of combination of nature and fresh air. I don't know, but there's always this kind of a bit more distance maybe at a festival. I think that like club shows have that kind of intimacy and you're all kind of in a room together experiencing this thing and the walls are kind of trapping all the energy in and it's nice. It's really it's a different thing. They're both good, but
do you vary up what you play depending on if it's a festival or a club show?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So I looked you up and I saw a couple of conflicting reports. So
okay.
I'm hoping you can clarify this for me.
All right. Sure.
Some reports say you're from Sydney. And some reports say you are from, and I'm going to say this wrong because I'm pretty sure Americans always say it wrong. It's not Melbourne, is it?
Melbourne.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I mean, you can say Melbourne.
Okay. Yeah. Americans, I think, always say that wrong. So, but I couldn't figure out which one was accurate.
Well, I was born in Sydney.
Uh-huh.
I lived there till I was 16 and then I lived in Tasmania and then I moved to Melbourne when I was 20.
Okay.
And I live there now. So
okay.
I say I'm from there.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm also from Sydney.
Right. Okay. So
it's
both
very
are
confusing.
Right. Okay. That,
yeah.
Actually makes a lot of sense as to why I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up for you? Did you grow up in a musical household?
Yeah, like somewhat. I mean, not like people playing musical instruments. My brother played, you know, bass guitar for a couple of minutes when he was a teenager, but you know, mum and dad listened to a lot of kind of jazz music and he was a big air drummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah. It's air drums are fun to play. Mum listened a lot to classical music. We didn't really have much like pop music growing up. I guess my brother kind of started. He's 4 years older than me, so he started showing me music. You know, when he started discovering stuff, but I kind of started bugging everyone around me anyone who had a guitar. To show me something on guitar.
Right.
So I probably started doing that when I was 10.
Right. That's an interesting thread that I think when I talk to a lot of people will tell me that they grew up in a house with a lot of music around and it seems like a lot of times it's not pop music. A lot of people will tell me that they grew up in a house listening to a lot of jazz. I'm going way off on a wild theory here that I don't think I'm going to be able to connect the dots on. But I just wonder if there's something to that for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just always hear those stories of, you know, like, people grew up listening to, like, their dad's Beatles records or something. And or, like, you know, some sort of discovery. And then they went on to become some, you know, genius. And it's, I don't know, I feel quite lucky. I've always been kind of just had, I don't know, so much different... And I mean, he listened a lot to jazz and then a lot to kind of blues and, you know, it's where all music stems from anyway.
Right,
so.
Yeah, sure.
So I think that's a pretty good, pretty damn good introduction, you know.
Yeah. When you finally latched onto pop music, what bands did you latch onto? What were your early influences?
Well, early, I guess, it was like the 90s, so it was lots of kind of Nirvana and No Doubt and Green Day and that kind of like middle, like main, like commercial alternative, whatever that is, somewhere kind of in between. And But then, yeah, I guess kind of Jimmy, like, obviously different time, but that's when I discovered kind of Hendrix and then, I don't know, you know, PJ Harvey and
Sonic Youth. I always find that funny that people will start with whatever's contemporary at the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into music, it's whatever you hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And almost without fail, people start to work their way back. And we all sort of end up in that same spot, right? It's Hendrix and the Beatles and all those people. You seem to take off pretty quickly here in America. Did that surprise you? I mean, at least from my vantage point, I remember sitting at my desk and an album arrived that caused a bit of a debate around our station, as a matter of fact, because it was called A Sea of Split Peas, a double EP.
Uh-huh.
And what the hell's a double EP? We were all like, isn't that an LP? What is
that? Well, yeah, I released two EPs separately in Australia, and then when we started to tour outside of Australia, we just bundled them together.
Oh, I see. So it literally was a double EP.
Less packaging.
Right, okay. Yeah, because we were all like, that's just an EP. What is it? She's making words up.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
It really has caused a lot of confusion over the time. But
but then it seems like the album came out, the Sometimes I Sit came out, and all of a sudden I was just seeing you everywhere. I thought, wow, she really took off. Did that surprise you? Did it feel that fast to you, I guess?
Oh, I mean, I'd been doing it forever, so I guess it didn't feel fast. But, I mean, I didn't think I would tour overseas, so that was a big kind of step up, and it's a long way from Australia. So, once we started touring America first, it all kind of, we kept coming back and playing slightly bigger rooms, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Yeah, I was getting people who were coming up to me like, oh, you got to hear this Courtney Barnett. I'm like, I already know her, because, you know, I had to be cooler than everybody else. I already know her. But yeah, I was pretty shocked. But I guess from the outside, it seems fast. It's one of those, a long time to become an overnight sensation sort of things.
Yeah.
When you worked with Kurt Vile, how did that project come together?
We just had become friends over time. We had mutual friends and kind of kept running into each other at festivals and joked about writing songs together, and then we did it. he was in Melbourne. He had a day off or so, and we booked a studio to record a song, and then just kind of kept recording more songs.
I had a chance to meet him and talk to him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he seemed really shy. Does he ever open up? Like, because you were around him a lot, I assume.
Yeah.
Does he open up eventually? And
Kurt's a really special guy, I think.
Yeah.
He had a
very calming presence when I was around him. But I just kept, it's amazing to me when I meet someone who goes out on stage and performs that sometimes they can be so shy.
Yeah, I know lots of people like that. I think it's a weird kind of conflict of their personality, but I think that's what makes them so interesting. It's just such a... He is shy, but also sometimes really not shy.
So, oh, okay.
I think
you just got to catch him at the right time or whatever. Okay.
He was
very nice and very funny when I met him.
He's so funny.
He was very soft-spoken and kind of, you know, seemed to almost be... like I said, a little on the shy side. There was a short documentary that came out about I want to say it was in New Jersey, a theater in New Jersey that you guys played.
It was New Jersey.
Yeah. Were you guys very involved in that, or was that something that...
Not really, but like we got asked, I think, you know, proposed the idea by the directors, and I think... we just really liked the idea because it was a like community-run space and all these volunteers like bringing the theater back to life and putting on shows and making it happen. And, you know, if it was like something else not along those lines, we probably wouldn't have said yes.
Right.
But I think we thought it's very kind of like-minded and just a really great bunch of people. So it was cool to... be part of. I mean, yeah, we just got interviewed and let them film stuff,
right.
So
yeah, it was a cool story though. I like those older style theaters.
It's always
terrible, you know. It's always when you drive by one that's all run down or whatever, you know, it's always kind of sad. So it was nice to see that they were coming together. Were you happy? Did you see it? Were you happy with the way it came out?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think anybody who's involved in a documentary, I'm always curious as to whether they're happy
with
the way things turn out. But like you said, you know, you guys did the interviews and they kind of handled everything else. So you're on the road for how long?
A couple more weeks. Then we go home. We do an Australian tour. And then we're coming back later in the year and we go to Europe and just kind of back and forth to places and then back home. And
aren't you getting tired?
I mean, I'm always a bit tired, but if I was at home, I would just be watching TV, so.
Yeah, I feel like you had, sometimes I sit and think, and then you had the album Kurt Vile.
Yeah.
The name's escaping me now, but you had that one, and then it was followed up very quickly with the new record.
Yeah.
I always think, man, you're really prolific.
Don't it didn't feel quick tired? To me. It felt like forever.
Yeah. you're going to go back. How long is the flight to Australia? That's got to be just terrible.
It's basically, it takes like a whole day of your life.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Is it, I think most Americans, myself included, who don't ever leave America, we just think of Crocodile Dundee when we think of Australia. How
close is that? So many people, that is people's...
What is the line? That's not a knife, this is a knife or something?
Yeah.
Do people shout that at you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's so funny that something like, I don't know when that is from, like
it's,
the 80s?
Yeah, it's from like, I want to say the mid or late 80s. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to deal with the Australian jokes and people asking about your accent and everything. Yeah. And I apologize on behalf of all of us for that.
No, that is okay.
Well, thank you for taking some time out to sit down with me.
No worries.
I know
thank you.
You're very busy. I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I've been trying to see you for 3 years, and every time you're in the area, something comes up. Like, just life gets in the way sometimes. Yeah. So I was very excited about the opportunity to come out here tonight. So thank you.
No worries. Thank you.